The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Live from Bar Canada here at the D. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Rocking my DKN quarter zip, but it's a little warm up here.
It is. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's a little toasty up here.
As soon as we get within 20 feet of this shield table we have here, the temperature went up like 15 degrees.
Yeah, I've discussed this with the crew once or twice before, too. I don't really understand how that works because, we're in a very wide open room, yet somehow this quarter can get warmer or colder.
It's a
very impressive air conditioning system.
It's funny you bring that up. I noticed the same. We have a sneaky good show. I don't know why I feel the need to say sneaky, as if we wanted to, like, shock you with it at the very last moment. It's kind of stupid.
Shocking names we have on deck today.
Yeah. Jason Weingarten wrote a piece at VSiN.com, his baseball season longs. And I believe the name of the piece is how to bet $5,000 in baseball futures. And if you do the math, what did you say it came out to?
I believe he failed in his own project. I
think it's like $8,000.
I think the last line in the article is, well, it really came out to like a little over $8,000. Whatever.
$5,000, $8,000. Well, we won't spoil the entire piece. We want everybody to go to Visa.com, but we'll get some of his thoughts on some of those plays beyond what he's already given on the show, which was Pete Alonso. Most home runs, which he gave out last week. Dr. Bob will join us. This is his time of year. Conference tournaments historically has done oh so well. He's got some plays. So we hear from the good doctor, who, by the way, is not a physician, Kelly, not an actual physician.
What movie?
Yes, there was any.
Someone has a heart attack. Still call 911.
Yeah, don't call
911. It's a hangover.
Sia Najad, some golf. You've got golf plays. So does Sia. We'll talk to Sia Najad about the Arnold Palmer this week. And Will Hill will join us. We'll get the standard fare of picks from Will. Will doesn't know this, by the way. He's probably listening, but he doesn't know. I'm going to ask him some just macro questions about basketball, pro and college, because we talk about certain things that have developed on both levels of basketball, but I don't know that we ever really discuss the theories as to why. So, obviously, we know NBA offensive efficiency, the records keep getting broken by teams every year now in recent memory. Why? What are the theories as to why? I know there's officiating, but is it as simple as teams figured out spacing? We'll get to Will's thoughts on that. College basketball. We didn't really talk about this a lot this year because Wishnev had us sort of in a gag order of you can't, and then Wishnev himself brings it up on a podcast on a Megapod, so it's like, okay, now we can talk about it. And this won't apply in conference tournaments or the NCAA tournament. But why did college teams not all of a sudden, because it's kind of been growing, but this year it was like this. Everybody was on the same email, and they just stopped fouling late in games like they used to. So why did
really?
That happen?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I haven't been watching enough to notice that because that's the stuff that drives me insane.
Yeah, I just want theories. Like, what? Yeah. I guess we know that it happened, but why? Did they all just watch so much NBA? Did they all get load management into their heads? Or, what was the story on that? So we'll talk to Will.
Charlie Hustle took a chill pill. Take it easy, kid. Take it easy, ninth kid off the bench. All right? You don't need to impress the coach that bad today.
And it's Indian Wells today, baby. Let's go. Tennis is de facto fifth major. Drew Dinsick and I did a Beating the Book podcast, as we do every year, on Indian Wells. 10 days of tennis. Well, at least a week and a half, let's say, of tennis. It begins today. Begins today at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. But the podcast actually has legs because the folks who have the first round buys, they don't play till Friday. So you'll be able to play futures in this. We'll get into some of my Indian Wells picks. I have three futures plays that I made, and I did have four first round plays today. Do you want to do those now? Or you want to do football first? What do you want to do?
We can hit those quick. Yeah.
All right. Let's hit them quick. So here are the futures plays that I made in this tournament. No surprise. What do you know? Gil played Iga Świątek to win this at +270. This is as slow of a hard court as it comes. It's a grainy hard court that plays into her strength. She won this 2 years ago. But she does have competition. Elena Rybakina, who won this last year, is on her half of the bracket. I took Iga at +270, which to me is still a good price, despite the fact that she's the number one player in the world and she's the prohibitive favorite. Not the prohibitive favorite, but she's a favorite in every tournament she pretty much enters at this point. Ex-grass. She wouldn't necessarily be on grass, though possibly as well. I took Naomi Osaka to win Q3 at 10-1. Now, this is a wild card play. I brought her up on the podcast with you. By the way, Drew from the slopes at Aspen doing the podcast yesterday.
Obviously. Yeah.
Pristine audio.
That's what Sean said, too.
From his audio, well, so much better than mine in the middle of the casino at midday, right? From the slopes of Aspen, talking tennis. Not your average podcast. But I brought up Osaka, and the reason I do is because, again, besides Iga, the only player on the women's tour, currently active player, who has won four slams is the somewhat forgotten by the casual fan, Naomi Osaka, who is back playing tennis after having a child. And she's in of the quarters, she's in the one that doesn't involve Iga, Rybakina, or Sabalenka. She's in the Coco Gauff quarter. And so at 10-1, I thought that was worth a flyer, so I played her there. And then the only other one, and this admittedly was a nudge from Drew, because I was sort of on the fence about it, but I saw Rafa at 38-1. This is sort of in the Osaka vein, where you don't know exactly what you're getting. And in Nadal's case, we have not seen him play tennis in quite some time. This is his last stretch of tennis. Maybe it's this calendar year. We don't know exactly. He certainly will rev it up for clay season. But this is the one hard court he wanted to be in. And Rafa was in the finals as recently as 2 years ago when he lost to Taylor Fritz here at Indian Wells. 38-1 to win it all. As far as the plays today.
Who else is in Rafa's quarter?
Let me get that for you. No, it's all right. On the fly. We'll do it on the fly. In Rafa's quarter, that is the Medvedev quarter, if you will. But it's also got Dimitrov. It's also got Fritz. So Fritz has really good numbers. Yeah. And Fritz won this tournament 2 years ago. He beat Rafa. His numbers in California are always great. As far as the matches today specifically, the men's match that I have, I would not play it at the current price. These are all at VSiN.com/picks. I made them last night. Every host, every guest, every sport on this network, their picks will end up at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. Dominic Koepfer was my men's pick over Alexander Shevchenko, but I got him at -122 last night, and I'm seeing -143 right there. So I would not play that anymore. So that's off the board. Again, pays to be a subscriber. But all the ladies' plays are in play. Daria Seville, I got at +111 against Bernarda Pera. She's in short minus money. I'd still play it, though. I'd still make an exception there, and I'd still play Daria Seville over Bernarda Pera. I do have Tatiana Maria over Arantxa Rus at +105. And the long shot of the day, our girl Katie Valenets over the great young Mira Andreeva. I just think this price is way off, and I think combination of Valenets just getting everything back to her, the weather conditions could fluster Andreeva in this one. And Valenets' hardcore numbers are great. So +235 is the flyer of the bunch.
Bet's giving Andreeva or the sister?
That's the good Andreeva.
This is the good one.
By the way, her sister's good too, but Mira could be great.
Be a legend. She'll be a legend around here forever. Until next Bet's giving.
So this is against Mira Andreeva. All right. That's the, again, if you want a much deeper dive, Beating the Book, BNB Paribas Indian Wells podcast is out now at the Beating the Book feed. So I just retweeted it out on my Twitter at Beating the Book. Football. Kirk Cousins, he's the dude that's controlling the quarterback free agency market. All this talk about Justin Fields, it's really about Kirk Cousins. Falcons are the favorite at -225, remaining with the Vikings is +150. Everybody else is a double-digit long shot. And here's the deal. Kirk Cousins, all things being equal, probably would stay in Minnesota if they gave him a long-term deal. But he's going to be 36 years old. He's coming off the Achilles injury. And again, that's how mere mortals should be described when they come off an Achilles injury at that age, not this Aaron Rodgers nonsense we heard last year. But the Falcons are interested in Cousins first. And the story with the Vikings is that they have their own interest, and Kirk has his. Kirk, if the Vikings were to offer him a long-term deal at, I would even say, a discounted price, because the man has made $230 million in his career, most of that sort of, you know, really capitalizing on the system when he was in Washington, where he kept betting on himself on one-year deals, and Daniel Snyder refused to give him a long-term deal. So he was making north of $40 million at that time.
I mean, you could argue Kirk Cousins handles offseason better than any NFL quarterback.
Maybe the greatest businessman of his era, really, honestly. So the Vikings, if they only are going to offer him 1 year, he might bounce. because he's more interested in the long-term security than I think he is the actual size of the contract. And this whole thing about March 13th, that if the Vikings were to sign him after that, they'd take a $28.5 million hit. So Falcons want him.
Yeah.
That's why they're the favorite.
It's starting to appear more and more like that. Everything you just said about Minnesota, I mean, they could have signed him already. This could have happened already
yes.
if it was Minnesota. I thought it was going to be obviously back to Minnesota, but
they said if he didn't have any other suitors at the combine.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know what I've heard?
It would have.
Reports, rumors, whatever, over the past 24 hours, some of this more true than others. I think I've heard that, let's see, they've been in Atlanta looking at schools. The wife's family is from the area, as we've talked about before. There was a discussion about Kyle Pitts' number being exchanged or something like
that. Is his wife's family from Atlanta? I thought that was Russell Wilson. Sierra's family's from Atlanta.
I think her cousins has some connection there as well.
Okay.
There's like all things, though, in the past 24 hours, I feel like, have just been coming out.
Okay, and the Russell Wilson thing, which we talked about yesterday. By the way, great article about Kirk Cousins, if you're interested in all that, from Kevin Seifert at ESPN.com, why this is happening with Cousins. Russell Wilson, we talked about this yesterday, and we were pretty much dead on that when this reposted, yes, the Steelers would still be the favorite, but the Raiders were essentially cut in half. Plus 250 is exactly where he is at the Raiders.
We nailed that.
I think the plus 250 is the play here.
I mean, it's going to be, it feels like Steelers, Raiders. I mean, if we're thinking Falcons for Kirk Cousins, I mean, it's Steelers, Raiders, Vikings for Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, right?
Full disclosure, we can't bet. We don't have this available to us in Nevada, so none of these are actual bets for us. By the way, Justin Fields, the Falcons, remains a short shot at plus 125, the Steelers at plus 250. But Kirk Cousins will be the first domino to drop, yeah. And then everybody else will figure out their place. We'll talk golf with Sia Najad. Will Hill will join us. That's next. Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the Grapefruit and Cactus Leagues than with VSiN's free MLB betting primer. This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training and continue all season long with our VSiN experts' World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB betting primer is basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use Sabermetrics for more data-driven bettors to make this your best season yet. Bet the MLB smarter this year. Download the free MLB betting primer now for free at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mike Alvarez, longtime listener, loyal listener, hilarious. He is accusing me of having an East Coast bias of rappers on this show.
Wow.
Can I just tell you?
I feel like if anything, it'd be the other way.
What would you put the odds on us having the Wu-Tang Clan on this show talking March Madness in a couple weeks when they're here in town?
I don't know. Don't get me excited.
It's a possibility.
That'd be incredible. Are you serious?
Just a possibility. Yes. Just want to throw that. I don't know that it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
All right.
There's your bias, baby.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He is the host of his own podcast, cleverly entitled Shoulda Bet More. He's also one of the stars of the Bear Bets pods over there at Fox Sports, which Chris Falica, is that how you pronounce it? Chris Falica is the host of?
Yep.
I believe it's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Will?
What's up, boys? What's going on? I would say plus 250 for that Wu-Tang thing, that Wu-Tang prop.
Plus 250. Okay. Can you imagine?
It's not outrageous. Not outrageous pricing.
What do you think about the brackets? Should be a fun conversation. Okay, Will, I teased this at the top of the show. You may or may not have been listening. I'm curious, before we get into your plays here, about a couple things in basketball, and I want to just get your theories as to why, because it occurs to me we talk about these things, and we don't often posit theories on this. So one, college basketball, which again, Wishnev had us on a gag order on this most of the year, but then he brought it up on the podcast, so now we feel on the Super Bowl megapod of all things, and so we feel like we could talk about this now, because it doesn't really apply in conference tournaments and March Madness. But college basketball has trended over the last couple years as something that we always know as bettors and as just observers, oh, there's a lot of fouling at the end of games, to something that sort of dissipated. And this year, it really seemed to fall off a cliff. Okay, that's great. But what's your theory as to why?
Yeah, I'm not a great person to ask, because as much as I'm betting college basketball, I'm live betting, I'm watching more of the scores. My typical night is I pull up the app and I'm just going through the scores and looking for certain points in the game where I'm looking to jump in on the over or the under. So I'm I'm following what's happening with the scores, but I'm not watching the games as much. So I don't even know that there is as much non-fouling. I'll take Todd's word for it. But again, I'm watching the scores more than the games. I know the totals late are inflated, and I just think that's because scoring is up in general, and they're just adjusting it. But you look up, and sometimes when you think a late over is a good play, you look up and you need like 20 points in the last 3.5 minutes, and that's too many points. So they definitely inflated the totals late. I don't know if it's people say, hey, there's going to be fouls, so they play the over, but the totals are definitely inflated. I know Todd swears that there's less fouling, but again, I don't know if that's just handpicking a few instances or he's dead on where across the board, it's not as prevalent. So again, I'm watching the scores more than the game, so I'm not sure. Did you have a theory? Because
no,
I mean, even if you're going to tell me, hey, it's 100% true, there's not as much fouling. Okay, then the next logical step is why, and I'm trying to think of what it could be, and I'm drawing a blank. I don't know what the I really can't think of a reason in terms of like what would make sense in terms of the new landscape of college basketball and why, unless these teams are just. Like, I always think early in the season, I've noticed that because teams, they don't practice late game situations, so they're just not as efficient. So sometimes those late game overs are troublesome because they don't know to score quick, foul, all that. You got younger teams, you got inexperienced teams where they don't have that down pat. But later in the year, conference play, the games are more important. That seems to iron itself out. If it hasn't this year, I'm kind of stumped too.
Oh, I mean, certainly moving forward, it's not going to happen. But it's just, so that's interesting that you even question the premise itself. You think Todd might be handpicking. I don't know that he is, but I don't have a theory because it felt like it was almost like this seeping in of NBA load management in some weird way where they just decided to punt on games that they didn't used to oftentimes. But I don't have a theory as to why.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah. Is it a younger these kids today, is it a younger generation where, hey, they're down 7 with 30 seconds left and they just say, screw it, and the game's over? You have a 2% chance to win. Well, I mean, maybe it's a generational thing. I mean, I
guess. These kids today, that's always the answer. If it weren't for those pesky kids.
Time score situation will just lined up like the perfect example. I feel like it's the kids when they were like up, you know, down 9 and they're fouling with 12 seconds left. That was always like, all right, man, like just let it go.
What I'm referring to is instances where you would absolutely foul and they just seem to let it go sometime. Like, what is happening? What am I watching? Yeah. And then the other one is the NBA. We know that if you're a analytics head, you don't have to be. You can do it by eyesight too. You obviously know that the offensive efficiency numbers have been. These records are getting broken every year now, and yeah. I'm curious as to your theory on that beyond officiating. You know, allowances. Is it just as simple as teams figured out spacing finally? Like, what happened here?
Yeah, I think it's the spacing. I do think the officiating is a big part of it. And then I know that I'm sure Kelly could talk about this too. Since the All-Star break, there's been a noticeable shift in the way the games are being officiated, where usually, I mean, the refs take it to the extreme where if you're not in legal guarding position, any sort of contact the defense is liable for, and it's just a free throw fest. And since the All-Star break, I know a lot of people say, hey, that's not the case. They're just, they're letting them play a lot more, which, I mean, look, free throws, we know, are the key to overs or unders, because not only do you get points, but the clock stops and, you know, you get in the bonus. It's just, it's a compounding effect. So I do think a lot of it's the free throws, the threes. I don't think it's great for the league, too. I don't know that the league loves it. There's just a perception that every game's 140 to 130. It's just, there's always been a perception that, hey, they don't play any defense in the NBA, even if it's pace and it's more in terms of the efficiency isn't that much different. People don't look at it that way. So I don't think it's great for the league that you have all these huge scores. I do think they'll dial it back a little where they're trying to get a little more defense in the game and make the scores more reasonable.
Yeah, the free throw numbers have been down significantly since the All-Star break. That feels like that was a pretty obvious memo sent out about not letting these teams get to the line as much. So that one's been interesting. I think the other one that's been, you know, fascinating to track, I mean, this is always since Steph Curry we're stretching out defenses more and more. You got to cover more ground. It makes it more difficult. We've talked about that a lot. I think what's happened in recent years, and I was reading some study like a couple weeks ago from someone at Harvard, someone way smarter than me, about the two-point shot attempt now being back to worth more than the three-point attempt because you have so many shooters that are taking three-point shots that aren't efficient three-point shooters that it's now opened up that, but you've stretched out defenses, it's opened up that mid-range for guys like DeMar DeRozan, who, you know, has kind of had a resurgence in his career because he's been able to score back in the mid-range and not have to rely on three-point shots because there's actually room to operate there.
With every trend that you exploit, something else opens up.
Exactly.
And here we're reverting a little bit. Any plays in the NBA or college hoops tonight?
Nothing in the NBA. I play one or two games, like maybe a week, sometimes a month in the NBA. The last NBA side I bet was the Clippers last week against the Lakers. I was like, man, this Clippers team owns the Lakers. That, you know, they own this head-to-head matchup. They're just the better team. They're up 20 something in the fourth quarter, and I look up and they're, you know, it's tied and they end up losing. So I'm taking a little break from the NBA, especially with March here. But college, I did play Seton Hall on the money line. It's right around -115, -120. I just think Villanova, this game's in Seton Hall. I think Seton Hall's probably a slightly better team. I'm surprised it's only one. They've got the best player on the floor in Richmond. This Nova team can't shoot, can't score. It's interesting with all these Big East teams on the bubble. They're all going to kind of cannibalize each other, although I do think St. John's is in really good shape now to get in this tournament. It's probably going to take just one win in the Big East tournament to get to 20, and the committee's going to have an appetite to put them in. But I do like Seton Hall tonight. I played North Texas +2 against Florida Atlantic. I mean, this was my darling team from last year, but they are so overrated. Every game, they are overvalued. They get treated like they were, a top 10 team coming into this year, which they were, but they just haven't played to that level, and they continue to get priced to that level. They've been horrible against the spread. North Texas is not a bad team. And I also played South Carolina +5.5 at home against Tennessee. Might be a little bit of a flat spot for Tennessee. South Carolina, they play slow. They play good defense. And again, Tennessee's coming off big wins against Auburn, against Bama. So maybe they're a little flat here going into South Carolina. So I did take the points there. And those three for tonight.
Any sprinklage on the money line with the Gamecocks or no? Just the points.
I haven't yet, but I'm not opposed to it.
Not opposed to it. Well, after the break, we'll get to your thoughts on conference tournaments, if you have any futures there, and any baseball thoughts. But I'm just curious just where you stand on this. The Atlantic Sun tournament, which, of course, was the first to have begun a couple nights ago. Last night, you had a situation where the short shot, Eastern Kentucky, loses to the 10th seed Jacksonville. And then those people who had Lipscomb were like, oh, what a great opportunity. And then Lipscomb falls. And so now we're in the semis. It includes 10th seed of Jacksonville. Are you one of these people who like actively roots for the 10th seed to get into the tournament? Yes me too.
100%. It is cruel that the one that has a great season, then all of a sudden they're out one bad night. But it is fun. It's what makes March
it's
fun.
It's so great. I never understood the opposite where people are like, oh, I don't want a team like that getting in. No, this is exactly what we want. Precisely what
madness.
We want.
Chaos.
It's madness, for God's sakes. By the way, Brent Musburger, the first person to ever call it March Madness. We should point that out every year. Coming back, more Will Hill, conference tournament thoughts, baseball, to numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
ANG. What you're going to do is VSiN.com/subscribe. You're going to be prompted for a promo code. You're going to type that in. ANG. The easiest way to remember it is it's just like this show. A numbers game. ANG. Gil Alexander finishes.
You got all day, man. Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. That's $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Current temperature at Bar Canada here at the D. Bar Canada. The barrage, roughly 86 degrees with 100% humidity.
If our show was 3 hours, I'd be losing a layer right now. I might even have to for the last segment. It is hot.
Might take off the quarter zip? Wow.
Yeah.
It is hot. It is humid.
Yeah.
It's playing hard, everybody. This, by the way, I just want to read this one tweet before we get to Jason. This is from Jack Hannon. J.J. McCarthy wowed everyone at the combine. Meet the new Zach Wilson, he says. So I have a buddy, Juan, back in D.C., and Juan is...
It sounds so right. It sounds so fitting. I don't know why.
My buddy Juan in D.C. went to Michigan.
Yeah.
And so he is the master of the half-baked sports fan ridiculous bet. So, okay. Like, he'll call me and be like, this is years ago. He'll call me from across the country. Gilly, tell me, who was it that Mike Tyson beat in the shortest flight in like 30 seconds. And I go, Marvis Frazier. He goes, incorrect. It was Michael Smith. I go, no, it was Marvis Frazier. It was the shortest. He goes, never mind. Click. Right. So he's always like, that's good. That's the kind of guy he is.
So he was out at the bar with his buddies. They got in an argument over it. He called up his friend who he knew would know.
Yes.
Got the wrong answer and just hung up just immediately. Hung up.
That's yeah, exactly. Him. So the other day he says, J.J. McCarthy is going to end up after all these quarterbacks come out in this draft, he says, J.J. McCarthy is going to have the best career of all of them. And I said, better than Caleb, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and everybody else in this draft. Penix, Nix. He goes, yes. I go, how much do you want to bet? He goes, $20. I'm like, okay, Juan, you're on. So that's our bet.
Hey, man, at least he was willing to put anybody
that's our
up.
15-year bet for $20. There you go. Big high stakes thing.
Oh, that's great.
Jason Weingarten just completed a manifesto at VSiN.com, and I do mean a manifesto. It's called How to Spend $5,000 at DraftKings on MLB Futures Bets. We did the math. He bet $8,000. What do you have to say for yourself, Jason?
Sounds like a fun Tuesday.
Man, this is a great piece you did, and I'm glad you were saving it all for the online. I don't want to give away the entire article, of course, because I want people to go and read all your different bets. But can we cherry pick a few? How about that? Let's do.
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
Let's do NL MVP. You actually have a long shot on this.
Yeah, you know, so that the thing with the MVP races, and we were talking about this, I think you and me, talking about this with the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Like, a lot of times, you're always a year too early.
That's me.
A lot of guys. And you bet them at big odds, and then, you know, you come back, and now all of a sudden, they're like Wembanyama's probably not going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but he's going to win next year. He's going to be like 4-1. There's going to be no value.
He's going to win the next 10 years is what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I look up at the top of the board in the NL MVP race. I see Acuna. Like, obviously, he deserves to be the favorite. You got the three-headed monster on the Dodgers. Obviously, they deserve their numbers. But, like, none of those are very exciting. You know, and even in the 10 and the 20 range, I'm not excited about any of these guys, honestly. The best guy I could find, one of my favorite players, O'Neal Cruz, 100-1. I'm not saying he's going to win MVP. I'm just saying he has the talent profile that, you know, he really shouldn't be 100-1. And I'm sure that's not even the best number out there, to be honest.
Now, just to clarify, we're talking O'Neal Cruz, not Ellie Dela Cruz, because people will make that mistake.
I'm very pro O'Neal over Ellie. In fact, there's a home run prop at DraftKings, a head-to-head O'Neal versus Ellie home run prop. I love that, too. I think O'Neal Cruz is the absolute right side on that one, too.
All right. O'Neal Cruz, Pirates. Ellie Dela Cruz, Reds, by the way. We're talking O'Neal Cruz here. Okay. Now, your AL MVP thoughts, you've got me convinced to bet this. Explain for folks.
Are we talking about Juan Soto or who are we talking about?
I'm talking about Jose Ramirez.
Oh, yeah. Jose Ramirez. Because I got to say, I think Juan Soto should be the favorite over Aaron Judge. Juan Soto, you know, is just probably the all-around best player in baseball. Wouldn't surprise me to see him, you know, win the award this year, kind of in a similar fashion to how Acuna won it last year. But Jose Ramirez, 25-1, is the definition of I get no respect. How is Bobby Witt 15-1? How is Gunnar Henderson 15-1? Those guys barely been in baseball for a year, 2 years. You got Jose Ramirez 25-1 on a team that might win the division. You know, a guy who's put together a Hall of Fame career, a legitimate, you know, every year in, year out, all-star, 25-1. I think that's crazy.
I agree. That is nuts. Like
his numbers, if I did like one of those A-B blind things and said which one's Mike Trout projection, which one's Jose Ramirez's projection,
totally,
you'd probably be surprised which one is which.
Yeah.
He's 25-1.
25-1 on Jose Ramirez of the Guardians, available pretty much everywhere. Shop around again. You might get a tick better in some other spots. 25-1 over at DraftKings. By the way, back to Wembanyama, because Lord knows I don't want to miss an opportunity to talk about him. I was unaware till yesterday. So I put out the clip of us talking about, or me going nuts about Wembanyama yesterday. And again, let me just say this, because people are going to throw this on me. I actually have never in all of this said you should go out, run out and bet him. I have a bet on him from preflop from before the season starts. I don't know that he's going to win this, but what I'm pointing out is the ridiculousness of people unwilling to have the conversation about how they've just given it to Gobert when all of the numbers are so clearly pointing to Wembanyama as by far the best defensive player in the NBA. I did not know, Jason, that you and Preston, our buddy Preston Johnson, both had Wembanyama from preseason as well.
Yeah, you know, I don't watch a ton of basketball, but before the season started, that was a large topic of conversation, was Wembanyama and what he could accomplish and how good he is. And no surprise, my group chat with Preston right now, we are also talking about Wembanyama and his chances of winning, mm-hmm. and posting clips from Twitter. And, you know, we're all very much pro Wembanyama winning here. I also agree with you. I don't think he's going to win, but right. at least we have to have the conversation.
We have to have the conversation. It's ridiculous, the group thing. All right, back to baseball then for a second. The Braves to miss the playoffs, 9-1. Give me the path for that.
All right, so I'm probably throwing away money here. I'm very much admitting that of all the bets I made, you know, that is very likely the one that is just going straight into the garbage. But when you look at the National League East, I feel the same way about the National League East as I do the American League East. You know, you got the Braves, the Phillies, the Mets, the Marlins, the Nationals. I think everybody except the Nationals goes into the season thinking they have a team that's good enough to make the playoff, you know, and you don't get the balanced schedule anymore where you just get to beat up on the Nationals or the Pirates or the Rockies all those extra times. You know, you got to go out there and play. You got to go out there and play everybody. The Phillies think they're going to make playoffs. The Mets think they're going to make playoffs. The Marlins think they're going to make playoffs. Somebody is going to have to miss. You know, I mean, just you can't, no matter how many teams the baseball lets in the playoffs every year, somebody's going to get left out. And, you know, the rotation is great, but Max Fried got hurt last year. Spencer Strider's avoided a whole lot of injury stuff early in his career. You got Chris Sale. I mean, Chris Sale hasn't pitched 200 innings since like 2017 or something. So you just have a lot of potential pitchers that can hurt this team. There's a lot of room for regression. And Phillies, Mets, Marlins, I mean, crazy things have happened. Maybe at the end of the season, the Braves are just one or two games out of the playoffs and they did the best they could. I thought 9-1 was a reasonable price. I do think I'm probably throwing away money, but you know, I like long shot.
9-1 is 9-1. And then part and parcel with that, most regular season wins by any team. This obviously applies to the Dodgers and the Braves, top of the list here. You went under 106.5.
Yeah, you know, I think it's possible that the Dodgers, maybe the Braves, you know, maybe the Astros, somebody gets close. But I don't think in the way the modern MLB is structured that you have an incentive to win 110 teams. I think it's actually, or 110 games, excuse me. I think it's actually worse to win so many games because then you set up these expectations when you lose in the first round of the playoffs. Oh, they weren't that good. They were just a regular season team, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of teams realize that the value of the 100 or 105th win is no longer meaningful at all.
Yeah, we'll talk about the incongruence of baseball momentarily. Jason, hang around. Let's do more of these. Jason Weingarten, his MLB season longs. Again, check out the whole article, including Jason's specialty, all the rookies he's got isolated at VSiN.com. More with Jason on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. On DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets, that is, if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, I'm playing hurt. I have a splinter in my right hand suddenly. I don't know how I got it. And I just want to ask you the question. What do you think is the, by proportion, now obviously if you break a leg, if you rupture your Achilles, yeah. whatever, by proportion, what is the smallest thing that could happen on your body that proportionally causes the most pain?
I don't know. Yeah, I know you have an answer loaded for
yes,
this.
Yes, I do.
But like,
I have an answer loaded.
I did suffer. I suffered a splinter like 6 months ago, yes. and it felt like the first time in like 20 years.
Yeah.
And I was by the end laughing at myself of how much pain I felt like I was in, where really I was like, does. Why is this such a pain?
It's fascinating that I can do this. The answer is, do you ever get like one of those, I don't know if this is the correct
term. Oh, I know exactly where you're going.
Canker sore
that
in
you
your
keep
mouth.
Biting over and over
again?
You
don't again? Even have to bite it. But just that little thing, if it just happens, I get them once in a blue moon, right? Causes such a disproportionate
yes.
amount of pain
yeah.
that you marvel at. You're like, how could this little thing do this to me?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. No, that
you're right. I had an answer loaded.
No, you're right. That is yeah. the correct answer, though.
It's brutal.
Especially if I got a few drinks in me, I forget it's there. I've chomped down on. Oh man.
Jason Weingarten, kind enough to rejoin us. Jason, before we get back to your wonderful piece at VSiN.com, which again is entitled, I love it, "How to Spend $5,000 at DraftKings on MLB Futures Bets," Kolegaard Classic. Do you have a play? People want to know.
I started looking at the Kolegaard Classic. As you know, it's my my favorite sponsored event on either the PGA or PGA Champions Tour. I mean, it's just I'd love to be involved with this event, just to walk around talking about the Kolegaard Classic all weekend. It's just like what I don't know. I just love senior golf so much. This is such a perfect sponsorship for them.
It is. It's on brand is what it is.
The problem with the senior golf, the Champions Tour golf, is you got Steve Stricker and Stuart Sink and Patrick Harrington playing, and Steve Alker too. But those guys usually kind of, they're always like 4-1, 7-1, pretty short odds up top. I did take one sort of punt bet this week just for some fun. I bet $100 on Fred Couples at 80-1. You never know. I mean, he still wins every once in a while on the senior tour, but I think he's actually won at this course too. I have to go back and check that. It's been a while since I've done research on senior tour golf, but Fred Couples 80-1 stood out to me, so I took a little bet on that for some action.
Jason does not have a piece called "How to Spend $5,000 at the Kolegaard Classic at VSiN.com. He does not have
no,
that.
You need a lot of accounts to get $5,000 down
right.
on a Kolegaard Classic future.
That's right. We just like saying.
Can I say one more thing, though?
Please, of course.
Is there a worse job in America? This goes back to the mailman thing. I'm really interested in this, though. The guy who works on the route dropping off the Kolegaard samples. That has to be the job that you get when you're in trouble in the mailman, right? Like, they send you to drop the poo samples off every day. That's got to be the worst job in America, right?
Yeah, it's up there. We'll have to do a more deep thought into it. But yeah, I would imagine that's on the short
list. Yeah, but you get paid more for that, though. You know?
Do you?
But you're in a mail van full of poo samples all day. What an awful picture to paint, you know?
Thanks for using the technical term poo. I think we all appreciate that, Jason. Thank you for that. Back to your MLB piece. This is music to my ears, my eyes. I made this bet too. You've got the Giants to make the playoffs at +190. I didn't get quite that number. I got +178 a few days back. What do you like there?
I like their moves all the offseason. I think Jung-Hoo Lee could be pretty good. I love Jorge Soler. He's slotting into the cleanup spot. They got Matt Chapman, I think, at a fantastic price. I'm shocked nobody else wanted him. And they have a decent pitching staff. Jordan Hicks being converted into a starter is kind of one of those things I think is pretty interesting. And Robbie Ray comes back midseason. You know, you're not going to get a ton out of him, but that's helpful. You don't know what other moves they still might make, adding another pitcher here or there. But I really like the way the Giants sort of work the fringes of their roster, and they're always getting better kind of quietly, the way the Dodgers did when Farhan Zaidi was there.
Yes.
They were picking up the Max Muncys, and you're like, what are they doing with Max Muncy? And then 5 years later, we're like, Max Muncy going to be a Hall of Famer? You know, like, it just, that's what they're doing with San Francisco right now. So I enjoy watching it, even though, you know, I'm sort of a Dodger fan. But yeah, I think it's a good team. Wouldn't surprise me to see them make playoffs. I don't think they're going to compete head to head with the Dodgers, but we said that 2 years ago and they won the division. So
they won 107.
Crazy.
Yeah, they won 107 that year. In Farhan, we trust. I'm glad you brought that up. But that is getting back to, you know, that play on the Giants to make the playoffs. It needs to be stated, right? They're the perfect example of a team, obviously the Dodgers in their division, where you can bet them reasonably to make the playoffs. And It's more reasonable after that, and I know degrees of reason, right? But it's more reasonable to bet them to win the NL and the World Series than it is to win their division, right? Because it's, again, obvious baseball, 162 games in that division. You're not going to beat the Dodgers over that big of a span, most likely. But once you get in a postseason tournament, if you get in a postseason tournament, anything is possible. That's the nature of baseball at this point. The incongruence between that lengthy of a regular season and the best of three followed by best of five playoff format. So it's just that way. Before you go, two season win plays. You have pulled the trigger on a couple. What did you like?
I took the Angels under 72.5 wins. I bet that. I actually bet that a couple weeks ago. That was one of my first bets. I just don't like the makeup of this team, and until they prove otherwise, I think they're still a bunch of losers, essentially. You know, the onus is on them to prove they're not. The other one I like is the Nationals over 66.5 wins. I think that was at even money, so I like that even better. They should be able to stumble into 67.5 wins. Their opening day lineup might not be the most exciting, but they got Dylan Cruz, James Wood expected to hit the lineup later this season. Good things are happening for the Nationals. They're still probably, like I say, a year away from being a year away, but they're getting closer, and they should see improvement on the field this year. I think they were a team that was getting better, you know, as the season went on last season, even if the record didn't indicate it necessarily.
Okay, and then I lied. Well, we'll do a couple of these props here that you have here. Judge 44.5 home runs. What'd you come up with there?
Under. We talked about it. His toe injury. The guy's on the record talking about having the toe injury and needing constant maintenance and, you know, swing mechanics. I've talked about that. These little things add up. I'm not saying he's not going to still probably hit close to 40 home runs, but a stint or two on the IL, you know, some maintenance, keeping him fresh. And that 44.5 number is a little high, you know, and he could blow through it too. But I think, like we just talked about, the regular season is not as important as being healthy for the postseason.
And you took Ohtani 2-1 head to head versus Judge on homers.
Yeah. Similar thinking. I think Ohtani 2-1, considering he's only going to be a designated hitter this year and only has to focus on hitting. Well, Judge still has to play the outfield and he'll be a DH sometimes, but you know, I think this is more, I think Judge has a higher chance of spending significant time on the injured list this year than Ohtani, because Ohtani just has to pitch. I'm sorry, just has to hit.
Yeah. Jason has tons of these, by the way, tons of plays at VSiN.com in this article. We're not even scratching the surface. Of all of your home run totals plays, including the Judge under, is there one you like above the rest?
I like Jorge Soler over 28.5. I think that's a little short considering he's probably the everyday cleanup hitter for the Giants. You know, if he gets 600 at bats, I think 30 is probably closer to where I would have his projection. I wouldn't be surprised to see him hit over 30. I don't love to bet unders, and overs. I surprisingly bet 1, 2, 3, 4. Four of my six plays were overs this year. So I did find some value in some overs, and that just means these guys got to stay healthy.
Jason, appreciate it as always. Again, like we said, VSiN.com for this piece, how to bet $5,000 on MLB futures over at DraftKings. We didn't touch on all the home run props he has. He has six total totals plays on home runs. He's got pitching props. We didn't even mention rookies, which is Jason's bread and butter from years past. So he has thoughts on both AL and NL Rookie of the Year, all of that. And, of course, still to come, how to bet $50 on the Colegard Classic. We look forward to that. Jason, thank you, as always.
Pleasure. Had a great time. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good day.
The great Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. We didn't mention that. At Spreadopedia on Twitter, where he is always witty and pithy with his comments as well. Sports and beyond.
Got to check out the article. Yeah, it was great stuff. Jason?
Dude, as much as we just went through in two segments, like half of what
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Explains way more.
Yeah. It also now you understand why he was like so holding some back for the piece at VSiN.com. Check it out. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take it.